Amen. Well, Father, we just praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for the times that you've gotten us into. I believe, Lord, that there's the apostles out there, up there where you are, would wishing they were in our times that we're fixing to come into. Because it's going to be a great time of harvest time. It's going to be a good harvest time. And Lord, I thank you for placing every one of us into this position that you've gotten us into to be a part of it. And we praise you for that, Lord, because we'll be able to talk about this for eternity. Sit on the back porch in heaven and just talk about what happened. And we praise you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight, leading us into talking about the confession of our faith. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for answering our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that when we pray, that we believe that it's going to happen. We know, Lord, that one sends 1,000, two sends 10,000, and nine of us can send a bunch of them. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that all of us believe too. When we pray that we confess it, we know it, and it's done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I don't remember how long ago this was, at least a couple months ago. I was looking through family pictures. I was looking for a certain picture, and I came across this picture of my cousin, and I hadn't seen him in years and years, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention about it, you know. And then one day I was praying for family and everything, and the Lord brought him to my memory, and I started praying for him, you know, and because I don't know where he's at with the Lord or anything like that. His dad, my uncle, passed away, I think a couple of years after my grandmother did. Anyway, and so I've, you know, been praying about, it was in the back of my mind, it would be awesome for him to have to come for a family get together, you know. He lives, anyway, I didn't know where he lived or anything, so I looked him up, and I asked my mom about him, and sure enough, you know, he does live in Delaware, and I just talked to her tonight again about it to make sure that the address that I was seeing was what she had been sending cards to him over the years. But when my grandmother passed away, he was upset that. He was upset about the will. I'll just say that. He was upset about the will. And he probably has rejection. That probably just added to rejection. Anyway, but anyway, so I had a dream last night. And I wasn't even thinking about him, but when I went to bed or anything. But anyway, I just had this brief dream that I knew was at a family get together, and he was there. And so I don't remember. I didn't see anybody else, and his face was so vivid. It was him. I mean, it was so vivid, and I don't recall, you know, recently having such a vivid picture of somebody in my dream of their face, but his face was vivid. And I gave him a hug, and I said to him, I was praying that last night that you would come. And that's basically the gist of it. And so I was like, huh, my sister's having a get together, family get together between her husband's family and our side, and on June 1st. And so my mom, it's kind of funny, my sister accidentally, she doesn't even know how to do this, she accidentally, and she didn't even know she did it, she did a video call to my brother and I both. And here, she must have like skipped out on it and didn't even know all this was going on. So my brother's working and we're here talking. And I said, well, this is what I was going to talk to Cindy about, blah, 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 you know, and told me about my dream and everything. He says, well, I'm fine, with that. I think that's a good idea to invite him to, to come to the family get together. And he says, just make sure that mom doesn't have any reservations about it. And I wasn't sure why he would say that, but anyway, but I know my mom said that she had sent him cards over the years and he's never responded. Anyway, so I text him the number that I found, and I haven't heard anything back from him, just something simple, you know. So I want you all to agree with me that the Lord will prompt in his heart to respond to me, and put it in his heart to respond to me, and get a communication going. And I'm believing he's gonna come to a family get together, whether it's this one or one to come or whatever. But so I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I don't know where he is with you, but I believe he's one of yours, one of your elect, Lord. And I just command rejection off Billy in the name of Jesus, and put in his heart to come to communicate first, to communicate with me, and that he will eventually come. He will bring his wife and maybe kids. I don't know. I think all his kids are, adult age now. So I just thank you, Lord, for bringing a reunion with Billy. It's been too long, Lord, and I thank you for doing that, for healing his heart and not holding anything against anybody, and because it's nobody's fault what my grandmother did. And Lord, I believe that, my grandmother repented of that, but it was too late to change it, Lord. It was too late to change the will. And so I just thank you, Lord, for helping Billy to forgive and granting him repentance and belief in you. He doesn't know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Michael, this is hard, dude.
I just want to add to Missy's prayer a little bit for me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you see and know everything. And I thank you for working on all the details and giving Missy that dream and speaking to her that way. And I ask, Father, that you will give Missy the right words to speak to Uncle Billy, that he would be receptive, that he knows he's loved and that he's been missed and he's not forgotten and that he's part of the family, and that you've been working, that he needs, that you've already been working, Lord, that he needs to know that he is included as family, and to put all bygones, let bygones be bygones, and put everything in the past, and to really know and understand how important people are, how important a family are, because when they're gone, you've lost your chance to convey anything. And that they're, that family is important. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've been working in our family's hearts for these kinds of things. If there's any kind of discourse in the family, just kind of discord where there's not unity, where there's not love, where there's still holding stuff against people, Lord, for, things that we just, you're over time in the years, Lord, that you use all that to soften hearts. And I just believe you, Lord, for what Missy's prayed, and that he's going to be very receptive and be glad that Missy reached out to him. Amen. In Jesus' name. I also want to pray, Father, that Everyone has really strong internet connection tonight. No one's getting bumped off for weather reasons or heavy traffic reasons or any other such thing, because this is our fellowship and this time belongs to us, Lord. You've given us this time. So I thank you, Lord, for clearing the air, the heavy traffic out of the way, and giving us all a good time together tonight and blessing us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Jesus' mighty name. Anybody else got a prayer request? I'll pray this system out of here right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I command all this rain and this hail and all this garbage to get out of here. In Jesus' name. I command you to part and get on around us. Right now. Amen. All right. Anyone next got a prayer or testimony? Okay. Did everybody get to read the thing I put up on Signal? I can read it, I guess. Yeah. I put on there, I said, Genesis 1 reacts like it does, so you will know how God created. And God said, and God said, and God said 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, you'll find that phrase. It would have been sufficient to have, and God said only once, then list all the things God said, except that God was trying to get over to us. What caused creation? It was his words. Remember Psalms 8, verse 2 tells us that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength that they might steal the avenger. It's illegal for God to come to earth and destroy the work of the devil with his divine Godhead powers. He delivered the authority of this earth to man and has never taken it back. It's still in the hands of man. Adam turned it over to Satan, but Jesus took it from the devil and gave it back to the believers before he ascended to heaven. He said in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He delivered that authority back to man. And God has to channel that authority through his children on the earth. He says, I've ordained it to work this way. Out of their mouths, I have ordained strength to steal the avenger. God took the image that was inside of him and spoke it out. And when you get an image of how God sees you, begin to voice it. As you continue to speak in line with his word, you will be perfecting that image. God used his words to bring the image into manifestation. He filled his words with the spiritual force of faith and then used those words as containers to carry his faith into the vast nothingness to give substance to that image. Sounds like quantum faith to me. Even though he was looking at darkness, God conveyed an image of light. He took his words and framed the world. The word is what created the world, Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. And that's basically what I put up. And that was the just an entrance into what we'd like to talk about tonight, and that's using your mouth to confess what the word says over you, your family, and circumstances in your life, and for your provisions also. So, having said that, has anybody got any comments? Don't lock up over there. No, I do not have an unstable connection. It is stable. It is firm. It is going to hold all night long. Ooh, that was beating his wife. All right. Did you have something, Teresa?
Oh, I just wanted to say give a praise report because we're having such beautiful weather here. We just got done with several days of just gentle rain, and I had plenty of time to get stuff planted and transplant, through, a couple days of just gentle rain. And so, and it cleared up and it's sunny and it's just beautiful outside. So over here we're having a beautiful spring. So I thank God for that. Only God can do that.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for whatever she needs to get all the stuff done. Let it be done away. Let the weather be like she needs it. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I'll thank you for here raining at night and sunshiny in the day. In Jesus' name. Okay. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add to what I just said? Well, I could say something. I will say something. Get to where I can. We've talked about this many times before. I don't know if we've kind of hit it as like we're going to hit it tonight. The things that you see in your mind, the image inside you, is always produced by words, and it's also released in words. God's word. Can y'all hear that thunder? Yeah. That's the devil beating his wife. Yeah, that's what my daddy always told me. Go ahead, Andrew.
That's a first for me. I was just thinking about some scriptures there about the word. We all know Luke 1:37. We know that in him we live, move, and have our being. And that's a good confession. We should confess the word about over us, If in him we live, move, and have our being, and living is the word and active, and Jesus is the name called the word of God, and we all know where that name is supposed to be, because Michael just read it over there in Matthew. You were all baptized into that name. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what does it say in 3:16 of Timothy about the word? It's God breathed. And if it's God breathed for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in micro in righteousness, that we be ready and made perfect, made I'm trying to think of NENT, so many times the King James comes to mind, and so the NENT says that it's gonna kind of make us ready for what this word gives to us, because it's God breathed. Did it stop being God breathed at any time? This word that we read every day, not is it is it is has it stopped being the breath of God? Is people not coming to the Lord anymore? It's so powerful that they know that when they first get saved, that they still have a long way to go. And when the Lord formalizes it or makes you better in the Word, then you are that word. We are to abide in this word. The word brings forth the fruit. And we are fruitful people. We have fruit 30, 60, and 100. As soon as you're called, you got that 30. And you increase from there. I know there's, and it's compounded from 30 to 60 and then to 100 also. And that's going to be exciting. How that happens or how that works, I'm not really sure, but to have a closer relationship with the Lord is amazing. So it's God breathed. I know it says that it's inspired by God, as it, King James says it, but it's the breath of God. It's what brought forth you. It's what gave you birth. It made you alive for with Him. So I just kind of reiterate that this word is not our word. We receive it from the Lord. We hear Him speak clearly. We pray for things. We get answers. We know who promised us the word. So we have to look to the Lord to remind us constantly. If He's sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in His name to teach us all things and to remind us of what He taught us, is it just a word He's giving to us, or is it just His very existence and life that He's giving to us? And that's a comment, because you asked for comments, so I gave you a comment. And if you want to breathe, you need the breath of God. If you want to live, breathing is living, and living is the word of God and active. And to have this breath in you, this name in you, this new nature, this new character, this new authority, this new acting in unison with this mark, the kerygma, acting in unison with this image, and we all know what's in the mirror, acting in unison with the sign. Simeon said when he saw baby Jesus, he prophesied over him that he would be a sign spoken against. We need not speak against the name of God. We need not to go with another name, because that's who you're going with when you speak a different word. Why would you do that? We mess up, but little children, and children are supposed to mess up, and that's why we have the confession. But when we read the word, it edifies us, it builds us up. When you do a study, and it builds you up. When you meditate on the Lord, it should build you up. And of course, we're led by the Lord. Everything is. In Sovereign God, in the first chapter, He's even saying that He has control over the good and the evil. But there is a narrative to both sides. When you're trying to overcome something, when you're trying to say, "No, I am healed," you go away, and it seems to be a long, tragic thing that you're going through. And you may even get angry about what this is, but it's not anger at God. You have to show that command. You have to pull out the sword and let the word carve through. Let it be locked up, that other word. Let it be bound, Be bound to the Lord's word, as it says in some places. And if you can bind yourself to the Lord, if you when they graft a grafting, I was told by one person, he said, "I use electric tape when I graft in a branch into a tree." And he would take the electric tape, he would cut the branch on a very steep angle, like 30 degrees, and he would match the branch, little circles in the branch, and then he would put that on there, and he would graft this pear branch into his apple tree, and he would put the electric tape around it. Especially like in the fall, I don't know when they do the grafting, but I'm an amateur person when it comes to plants. I have a patio. I have my morning glories, so and their little trumpets. So I got to plant them this year. Anyway, we expect things when the word gets in us. It comes into your mind, and it comes in through to your strength. It bears fruit in your soul, and it's active in your heart, and you want it to function. Because we know what the contrary word does. So we want the word of God to lead us, guide us, and keep us all the time.
Hebrews 4:12.
Ben has a verse that came to his mind.
Hebrews 4:12. For living is the word of God, and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. But another really important verse is the one right behind it. Verse 11, Hebrews 4 and 11. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no one fall after the same example of disobedience. So it's this diligence to be in rest. I know that's pretty hard to get that wrapped around in your head, but
work to rest.
It's a work to be in faith that God's word is working in you. The spirit of the word is working in you.
That is line upon line. You're a little there, a little bit. You're right. Yeah. So, yeah.
But with the confession, with what Michael kind of wants to talk about, it's that speaking on it and knowing that our words are the words of God speaking through us. Right?
Right.
And we have faith in the words that he gives us, and we say, and we glorify him in that. I think John 17, Jesus is like, we're all together, we're all in one. He prayed that we would be with him and that he would be with the Father. So we have faith in that word that he spoke, and that faith that he got from his Father is now with us as well. So we even have a resting faith in what Jesus wanted for us. I don't know, that's comforting and knowing, and I can be diligent and rest in that. Knowing that I'm with Christ and I'm also with the Father. And if I can portray that in any way to the nations or to a fellow brother, it glorifies the kingdom of heaven. And that's awesome. And I give all glory to God whenever that happens. Because I can't do it.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I remember my David saying, our work is to rest. So,
let's take a nap.
Let's take a nap. Don't tempt me. Praise God. Glory to God. And he asked for comments. We're giving our comments here. I hope some other people can give us some comments. This is a fellowship here, and we give glory to God for everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. And we're part of them that dwell therein, and we're a special part because Christ is multi-present, and God's Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But the omnipresent with the multi-present sort of makes a child of God.
Yes, that's right. This is a fellowship. Everybody needs to participate. Go ahead, Teresa. Just thank you for putting that out there.
Okay, so are we talking about what the word does, speaking the word, praying the word?
Speaking the word over yourself, speaking your word over your family, speaking the
Okay.
word of faith on everything that you need.
Okay. So, in First Peter, James, 5:16, there's more above that, but I'll just go to this verse. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And then when you go back to that in First Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And then you go to chapter 18, First Kings chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And then before that, in 17, chapter 17:21, when he prayed for the child that had died, and he cried to the, and starting in verse 20, and he cried to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, have you also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son liveth." And then if you go back to First James 5, in 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And it goes into Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that's just an example.
Amen. Just a minute. Okay. Thank you, Teresa. Anybody else? What is God trying to do when He tells us to confess the word? For us. He's trying to plant a picture right here. He's trying to plant a picture. So you'll see it, and you'll go ahead and keep confessing it until it manifests. That's what he's talking about. He wants us to call those things that are not as though they were. Quantum faith does that. You'll get to it.
Well, I think it's true. He's teaching us how to be like him, you know? Because Jesus said, "I only do the things I see my Father do, and I only speak what I hear my Father speak." You know, he was his example, and Jesus is our example. The apostles, the disciples in the whole Gospels and throughout, the whole Bible, the New Testament, we're all examples too of, Paul's, especially is like, he told Timothy, to do these things that I've done. So he's teaching us, to do these things, to be sons of God, disciples and learners and followers. So, yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see as you see and speak as you speak and do as you do. And he'll bring it to pass and he gets all the glory because we know we didn't do it. All we did was agree with him. Praise God.
Well, just like we said before, the word of God created the world. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. All of those things that are not as though they weren't. So the image inside you is produced by words and are also released in words because God's word causes faith to come. And then faith-filled words perfect that image that you have. And words release the image and they give substance to it. And this is a complete cycle. This is what we learned, or what I learned in quantum faith. It does the same thing. When you speak what you believe what you speak. And the more you believe it, the more you're going to say it. And the more you say it, the more you're going to believe it. Because that image, every time you say it, is being perfected in you. And the more it comes and goes through that cycle, the stronger it becomes in you. And that's why it's important to confess God's words and say what God says about you. Instead of what the devil says, a lot of times we always say what the devil says and forget about God. If you quote what the devil says, it's going to create the image of what he wants to happen inside you. So remember, fear-filled words produce fear. Faith-filled words produce faith. God created man in his image and his likeness with the words that he spoke. And with your words, you can stop the enemies from attacking you. And you can subdue it with God's word, speaking them against it. Matthew 16, 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We've got authority to bind off the earth what is bound out of heaven. And we have authority to loose on earth what's loosed in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Is there any sickness or disease in heaven or poverty? Uh-uh. Then you have authority to bind it here on earth. You can't bind it off the whole earth, but you can bind it in the part that you're walking in, can't you? And if you get that image inside you, you'll realize that you have dominion over that part of the earth that you're living in and walking in. God spoke what he wanted, not what he didn't want. A lot of times we speak what we didn't want because that's what we've been attuned to all our life, speaking a bad report. The faith force of God was transported by words, and it continued through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And any image that is perfected within you, it's going to flow out of your mouth. Okay, I'm going to just let somebody else talk a little bit. I've got a little bit more, but I want some more people involved in this. Yes, go ahead, Jenny.
Just something else that was just coming to my mind, and I apologize if it was already mentioned because I was kind of distracted and doing something. But the scriptures are coming to my mind is in Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 8, says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture has said, I'm sorry, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame." So it's like, we believe, we if we believe it in our heart, we're gonna be confessing that. And that's what what Michael, I think, was saying. If it's in our heart, we're gonna confess it. And then it will, unto salvation, until it manifests, whatever it is that we've been praying for, believing for ourselves, for our families, for the things we need, things that we've been commanding and, speaking, like speaking and casting down the works of darkness, the deep state, the, all the things that they're doing, that's, we're believing that we have that authority and we act on it. But what do? We're not, God gets all the glory, but we won't be put to shame because we believe in him. We're just doing what we've been taught to do. And that's just kind of how I see it too.
How many times have we, just talked about some vehicle or some piece of machinery that you have? This thing here just won't ever work right. I can't get it, I can't this or I can't that, or whatever. It's negative thoughts, and we're going to have to start changing our conversation habits. To start believing the Word of God and confessing the Word of God every time we open our mouth. That doesn't mean we have to just quote the Bible. It'd be good. That's right. Through our confession, Josie, that's right. Our faith grows stronger. That's how the Lord brought the world into existence. There was nothing out there. The Word says there's nothing out there. It was nothing. And he started speaking. And when he started speaking, things started appearing. That's what happens when we do it the same way. And when we speak negative, you just nullified everything that you spoke positive, if it's the same thing. So we have to be very careful to speak only what God wants us to speak. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
Well, this is just like a little testimony to what you're saying and everything. But I take care of plants and I love plants. And I was seeing some brown spots on my plants, and I just I refused it. I said, no, I'm not gonna have that. I refused that. And every day I just start telling them how beautiful they were. And they really are doing really nice. I mean, they really are beautiful. And I just spoke it into existence. So pretty much what you're saying there, we speak and it becomes so. That's faith. That's all.
I guess I better own me. The longer you speak it, the more it's going to happen. We've got a tree out here, a large sawtooth oak tree that had a lightning strike it some years and years ago. And it had grown around and it was starting to get holly inside and it was weeping around the hole down at the bottom of the thing. And David saw that. Yeah. David saw that. And he said, man, this my tree. I don't want that thing to die. It's too close to the house for one thing. It's too close to the high line wires. Anyway, me and Brandy and David got out there and prayed for that thing and prayed that it would heal over and that it would stop, and it's going to last as long as he wants it to last. You know what? It healed over completely. It did. If I hadn't seen it with my eyes, it would have been hard for me to believe it, but it did. This is a tree that's probably foot and a half, 2 feet in diameter. Big tree. It's a big tree. And it's got the nastiest taste in acorns I ever tasted on it. But anyway, what difference does that make? Go ahead, Andrew. But it healed itself, just it healed it with our words.
You know, I was when I did my Bible study today, the Lord reminded me about this person I met in the bus bump. I went to the corner store here where Ben used to have a job when he was in high school, packing shelves or whatever, and I ducked into the bus stop because they have bus shelters here, because if there was going to be a thunderstorm. I ducked in there. It was a Sunday morning. And another person ducked in there too, and he was going to church that day. And, we're waiting for the thunderstorm to end because we would have been really wet if we went out there in that rain. And, the conversation of the Lord came up in the bus stop. And the Lord reminded me of that today. And he said, "You remember when you were in that bus stop, and you said there's one thing you don't like when they start saying that all you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life." And I said that right out to the guy, and his countenance of his face was frowning, and he looked like he was angry with me when I said that. And then you can speak a word right next to that. And I did, because I was reminding him of Romans chapter 6, that he's not supposed to have any, he's free from sin. He's supposed to reckon himself dead to sin indeed and alive. And suddenly the countenance of his face was happy, and he was receiving me, And you could just tell that he may have heard that word too, and he understood after that I was giving him an admonition, a warning, something to build him up. And he went from cross to happy, and even inviting to me. He wanted me to come to his church and explain this. And apparently he was an associate pastor, but I ended up taking my grocery home, and after the thunderstorm, and looked at the invitation, the little thing he gave me. I never went. I remember even mentioning it many years ago when I was on this outreach, and Michael even asked me, "Did you go?" I went, "No, I don't think I better go there because I'm not strong enough in the Lord yet, and I'm pretty good sometimes with one-on-one and so you see, the words do help. The words that you speak, you can turn things around, or you're not doing it. It's God that's doing it. There's no way I could have turned that around, And he probably didn't want to be there when I told him that, because that's, and it's these mantras and sayings they have in the church that I'm just glad I was able to explain it to him. I remember he was from Africa. He was from the Congo. He was a new Canadian. I remember asking him, "Is it true what I hear that they're taking God's word and mixing it with some of the other religions, the old time religions of Africa?" And he said, he thought for a while and he said, "Yeah, they're doing that." I go, "Well, they're doing it in Europe too. They've been doing it for years." Anyway, another other verses there at the bottom of Matthew 10. If you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a, now we know, how did you attain your righteousness? It was a reward given to you at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. So there is a repentance, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God. After the repentance, of course, there's a formulation of this, these little children have to be reminded who they are, and they have to be repetitive. It's true. When you're first Christian, and you do something wrong, you feel so bad, you know. You need that person to come and tell you, well, you know, you got to confess your sin now, you know, and get over this and come through it, you know. And it's almost like he does act like a little child, and he's a full grown man, and he'll do it, you know. And because he just came to the Lord, you feel so awkward, but you know, you can't hide anything from God the Father. So, you know, at least get the cold glass of water in you. Forgot about the cold glass of water at the end of 10. So, you know, even with these a prophet is going to speak words to you. A righteous man is too. A cold glass of water will sanctify and cleanse you with the washing of water by his word. So, you know, this word has power to it. You know, it really does. Any word does. Even, you know, I know lots of us speak idle words, but sometimes you speak these idle words about the weather because why? You want to make friends with that person. And hopefully the idle word will turn into God's word, okay? And God knows why you do things, why we want to approach it our own way, but he does use our abilities at first when we're young in the Lord, but he wants to demonstrate it with us in a more, I don't know what kind of word to use here, in a more powerful way, I think, would be the right way to say it. So praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else on confessing the word? Share here. You know, when you first start confessing God's word about a certain situation in your life, what you're doing is causing faith to come to you. And as you continue to speak God's word, you destroy that old image and perfect a new image inside of you. In other words, you bring down those strongholds that have kept you from faith in that particular incident. And when you're quoting God's word over a situation, but you're looking at something that's totally opposite, then you have to cast down the image that you're seeing with your physical eye. You bring it down because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual forces flowing from within you. When you look at apparent defeat or lack, I say, my God has met my need according to his riches in glory. You're casting down imaginations. Because your imagination is saying, you're a lie. Your need is not met. But you start saying it just like God said it. Because I have given, it's given unto me. Praise God. And when you first say it, you might not believe it. And you might say, I know it's really not true in my situation, but I'm saying it because the Bible said it. That's what you do. That's the truth. The other might be fact, but this is the truth. I know it will come to pass because God's word said it. And as you confess that God has met your needs, you have to cast down those imaginations of lack. And the best way to do that is by saying what God has said in his word. And when you do that, that's going to cause faith to come and that image to be changed in your mind. It might take 6 months to change that lack image inside you, but it'll bow to the word of God, guarantee it. It may take 6 months to change that nothing better image inside of you. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She spent all she had on them stupid doctors and was nothing better. What she had was a grow worse image, but she changed that with her words, and you can do the same thing. though that first stage of confession may not seem to do anything, they're changing an image and causing faith to come. Because faith comes by hearing God's word. And you keep hearing yourself speak God's word, and faith is going to come, guarantee it. That's what the word of God says. Go ahead, Jenny.
Well, it's just that you almost said what I was thinking, that, you know, the more you speak it, you know, you hear it, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And even when it's coming out of your own mouth, you know, you're speaking it. And there's power when you speak. You might be thinking it, but there's power when you speak the word of God out loud into the spirit realm. You know, God's word is power, and no word of God should be void of power. Anyhow. Something that was coming to my mind is like, you know, speaking the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we have to hear it and increases our faith. You know, we're speaking faith.
Well, that's right. You're speaking it and you're hearing it all at the same time. Praise God. And that's what builds your faith up. Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Judith.
We had our minds changed when we came to this ministry. Even the confession of some of these people would say, I've learned more here in a few weeks and in a few months than I've learned years being in the outer church there. So there, yes, you see the power of God's word is functioning, and it does function strongly. I just wanted to add that. It was something else, I'm trying to remember it now. Maybe it, yeah. So, praise God.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you something that I always had. God just placed it in me to have faith, to believe. But when I learned what confession did, and I learned what quantum faith was, oh my gracious, that just changed the whole atmosphere, you might say, because faith comes. Because I know when I speak it, something's happening. Something's happening. When you speak faith to somebody and you pray over somebody, glory to God, it's happening. I don't know if y'all have ever watched, oh gosh. Who's the guy, what's the name of the guy in late earlier years that had a word of knowledge for just about everybody around him? A little short guy with bald head. From years ago. Anyway, he would speak to, he's a humble guy, little short humble guy. Older guy, he was probably, I don't know, Pat's age. Anyway, I'm sorry, Pat, I didn't mean to say that. It just slipped. But anyway, he would talk, the people would come up to him, and he said, he would tell them this. He said, now, when I pray for you, you're going to believe that God can heal you? Yeah. He would ask them, always ask them, now, do you believe God will heal you? Yes, I believe that. And he'd tell him, he said, Lord told me, he said, if I can get you to believe what I say is truth, that you'll be healed. He'd tell him that. And then he'd say, now, if I told you where you lived, would you believe to be healed? Yeah. Well, you live on Pine Street, number 934. You got a green porch on the back and a red porch on the front. Or some nonsense like that, you know. And they, yeah, you know. And then he'd say, be healed. And they'd be healed. They'd be healed. Or he'd see somebody. And while he was praying for somebody else, he'd love to sit out there. That lady standing up right there in the third row over there, fourth seat over. You got pancreatic cancer. You're healed in Jesus' name. And she'd go to holler. He would speak the word of God and tell them, you're going to be healed. You already were healed, is what he told him. Oh gosh, y'all know who I'm talking about. This was back in the 50s and 60s. Anyway,
I
I'll
know you've
figure it
talked
out.
about it, Michael, but I can't think of the name. I know you've talked about it before.
Is his name Brennan?
Oh yeah, William Brennan. Yeah. Oh, now, thank you, Lord, that we all have good memory. We have great recall memory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lord. We can do all things through Christ, can't we? But that's what God is trying to get across to us. We speak a lot of times. How many of you have ever spoken anything negative and then found out about these confessions here? And they said, oh my goodness, I've been speaking these stupid things all my life, and now I understand that I can't speak those anymore. Oh man, I feel so bad this morning. Glory to God, if I could just get somebody to make me some chicken noodle soup, I'd be so good. You know, that's the wrong kind of thinking. That's the wrong kind of thinking. You got to speak always the positive. I declare and decree my family is into the kingdom of God. Bless God. I don't care what I see with my natural eyes. Every one of them is in the kingdom of God. Is that right? That's right. And that's why he wants us to act. We have to act just like Jesus. Only time he spoke anything negative was toward the Pharaohs, wasn't it? The Pharisees, I'm sorry. That's the only time he spoke negative. Well, unless he was talking to Peter. But that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to speak as he walked like he did. When that image in you is changed and faith has come, your words are not just confessions then. Your words are not just changing images. Because they become creative power at that point. When you speak, and you will speak to affect things, your words will change the order of things. And then you'll realize this really does work. And you're going to be telling everybody else, I do have dominion over every circumstance in my life. That's when the devil starts having a problem. He can't prevail against the word of God. He will not stand against the word of God. Can't. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. If you're not a doer of the word, if you don't bridle your tongue, you're going to deceive your heart. And you'll sow the wrong words. And that's the kind of harvest you'll reap too. The seed you sow is going to produce after its kind. And a lot of people wonder why things turn out the way they do. It's because their tongue deceives their heart. And the heart brings forth the fruit of itself. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 12, 34 through 37. Ye offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasures brings forth good things. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12 and 35 says this. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things. Well, who brings it forth? The good man. From where? Out of the good treasures of his heart. He's read the word of God. He's putting that to use. And what you deposit in your heart is what's going to come out of it, right? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's abundantly in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And what's abundantly in your mouth will get it in your heart. You're going to get it in your heart by saying it with your mouth and listening to it. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 10, verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith says this: the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It gets in your mouth first, and then it gets into your heart. Jesus made a confirmation of this in Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. When the apostles asked him to increase their faith, here's what he said, or here's what the apostles said. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamine tree, be thou rooted up and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He didn't say nothing about giving them more faith, did he? He was telling them how faith should be planted. You plant it by saying it. And it's amazing how the teachings throughout the scriptures coincide, and they all come together with that same truth. Jesus said, you plant the word, the seed, that seed of faith, and you plant it by saying it. If you had a faith as a seed, you would say whatever it is you need. But so many people don't have faith as a seed. Here's what they'd say. I wouldn't say that. It might not happen. It probably won't, because they don't have faith as a seed. You've got to plant a seed if you expect to reap a harvest. And even so, you have to release your faith, and you have to do it with the words that you speak. Okay, I'm going to stop here and let y'all talk. Does anybody else got something they want to say about this confessing our word? Does any of this make sense? Good. Praise God. It's to me, when I first started getting into this, it was revolutionary to me, and it also brought about a lot of great faith and a lot of things that happened that were good. Yeah, Missy.
It's like it's this the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. It's like that is to me, that's one of God's like biggest laws, I guess is the best way to say it. I mean, there's so much when you it's like amazes me each time I see something in the scripture that I didn't see before that related to sowing and reaping. It's so big, There's so much in the scripture that I realize relates to sowing and reaping. That's it.
Absolutely. Do y'all remember how quantum physics works? That when someone looks at a quark, it's a gas, looks like a cloud. But then when someone looks at it, it comes into a single spot or single thing out there. Depending on who looks at it, how it acts, and that's amazing to me. And when they would speak something, the plane would do things. And when they would shoot an atom, well, I'm not going to go get into that, all of that, because I get mixed. I would probably butcher it, but I can tell you this: that quantum faith. If you read those books by Charles Capps and Anita Capps on quantum faith, it'll set you on fire, because science is proving the Bible. Which is the science of quantum is just a fairly recent thing. Jesus, the Word of God spoken in Genesis, happened how many eons ago? He was practicing quantum faith back then. He was practicing calling those things that are not as though they were, because there was nothing here when he started. Jesus started speaking faith, creation, and all of them kind of thing, but nothing out there. It's what the word said. Let there be light. And I guarantee you, if you could get out there ahead of that light, you'd hear him say as it goes by, let there be light. Guarantee it. That's right. Go ahead, Ben, Andrew.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but you mentioned creation, and if someone brings up creation, I'll mention this. So
Okay.
it's, God was practicing. He had to be, because when you look at this picture, it's a picture of a fish, and it's a square fish with yellow and black polka dots. Now, if that evolved into a human being, how come we don't have any polka dotted people like this? So it's a cube. Come on, it's cute. I laughed when I turned the at the beginning of the month in May. I went, God has a sense of humor. Look at that fish, and that's the picture on my calendar for the month of May. And it's yellow. It looks like a cube, and it's got black polka dots on it. That's not, that has to be created. That didn't come from something else, and I was going to bring this up before, but God's word spoke that fish into existence, because they didn't have cartoons back then. So the little kids who saw it would see this little fish and they'd go, wow. God does. I don't want to even mention the platypus. So someone said he had spare parts, but there's oh boy. I'll just leave it at that. Praise God. I should have done it sooner when the kids were still up. I don't know if they're in bed yet.
I've never seen a duckbill platypus in the real life. I don't know if I'd be scared of it or not, because that's a weird looking thing. I'm like you, Andrew. That Lord just had a bunch of spare parts left over and decided to stick them together. Oh my, that's neat. That's good. Yeah, that's that. If you just follow Jesus and you follow the Lord throughout the Word of God, you'll see quantum faith throughout it. You will. You'll see faith confessing the Word throughout the whole thing. Well, I forgot what. No, I didn't. Jesus' name. I'm gonna quit that. Go ahead, Pat.
I was experiencing learning to walk in this, speaking forth his word, and an interesting thing, I was doing some work on my deck at home here, and required that I tear some boards off of the deck, and I got a sliver in my hand, and it was, I'm gonna say it was bigger than a sliver, it was like a spike almost, but I reached down because my hands were busy, and so I just reached down with my mouth and grabbed it and spit it out type thing. But the interesting thing, it, and then of course I, commanded to be healed in Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, etc. And the next day it got red, And I noticed that the cut, you know, that where it went in wasn't healed, wasn't, you know, healed over. And then it, I'm not going to say it became infected. It's not what happened. It was, you know, without getting too graphic, basically your body goes into healing mode, and if there's any impurities in there, it basically, well, I'll just say it, pus. And it probably didn't want to say that with Julie eating, you know?
It's okay,
But
Pat. I was already thinking the words, you know, and there's an infection in there, whatever impurities, it festers. It
so
just forces it
what
out,
I
right?
did, yeah. And so what I did is I simply squeezed it, and a piece of wood came out of my hand. So I got to thinking about that. What was happening is that your body goes into healing mode, and it pushes the impurity out. It pushes it out, basically. And so it became a lesson to me, because I have found the greatest restriction to speaking forth in agreement with God's word. Number one, you have to settle on the word you're confessing. You have to, you know, there's when you have to be anchored on a particular word. You know, the at least for, you know, for healing, or, you know, you've got to be anchored down, or at least focused on by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That was a done deal. A Not only truth, but it was a fact. It happened. It has already taken place and happened. But there is a battle, the battle in the flesh. And I'm going to say, like Michael was saying, strongholds in the soul, whatever that would be. But I just got this, you know, this picture of, and this is kind of, you know, what Julie brought up in Romans, I think it was Romans 10 there, about that healing is in Jesus, in our spirit. And that healing, that truth of the Word of God has got to go through. It's got to be pushed out of our spirit, or the truth of the Word of God has to be pushed into our soul in order to push the impurity or the unbelief out of the body. And that was kind of the picture that I had. And when you know, Michael brought this up, because you know, in that those verses in Romans 10, where Paul is saying that, you know, repeating the the Old Testament. I don't know exactly where it's at now, but that word is nigh you, it's in your heart, and it's in your mouth, in your heart, and in your mouth. You in your spirit have to decide to force that word out through your soul by using your mouth. And yeah, to me, that's where the battle is at. Mike, I'm going to tell a testimony that I heard, and I was trying to remember it, but it explains kind of what I'm talking about here. And it was a testimony of a guy that was learning the lessons of faith and trusting God's word and believing his word and not taking or accepting sight. It was a story that he told. He had been learning some things about healing, about the by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And he was learning how to minister that healing. And when he was one day studying, and he heard a splat out at the outside the on the patio, and he got up to investigate it and found that his daughter had fallen at his daughter was 6 or 7 years old, I believe, maybe a little younger, had fallen out of the second story window and fell face down flat on the concrete of the patio, and it killed her. And he reached down and he grabbed her. He ran out of the door, saw her there, and her nose, he said her nose had been pushed into, her face was flat and just pushed in, and her teeth had protruded out through her lips. I mean, she was, and so what he did, it came as kind of a natural reaction. And I've heard this actually in one of David's confessions. The only thing that could come to his mind and his mouth was, "You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die." And he bent over and was saying that constantly, "You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die." And he said that because he had had another child die, as he was repeating this, he couldn't even hear that coming out of his mouth because the loudest megaphone was going in his mind, and it was saying, "You've lost another one. There you go again. You've lost another one. You're daughter is dead, and you know, and all of these accusations, all these thoughts come flooding into his mind and constantly, and he said, all I could say is, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. And as he continued on, he continued on for, he said, 20 minutes, probably 20 minutes, battling. And he picked up his daughter, and she was limp. And he said that the blood that was all over her face, it wasn't pumping because her heart had stopped. And he picked her up, and she fell limp, He took her inside the house, leaned her up against the wall, and all of this time repeating, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. And it got louder and louder, and you shall live. And he got forceful in yelling, almost yelling, you shall live and not die. And it created such a ruckus that his wife upstairs and the children upstairs heard it, and they come piling down the stairs, and they started screaming, and she's gonna die, she's dead. And you can imagine what the shenanigans, the confusion and the terror and everything that was happening. And he stopped for a split second, and he turned around and said, shut up. If you can't believe, get out. And the family immediately coalesced around him, and he turned back around and continued, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. All this time, this battle going on in his mind, but it was getting less and less. You shall live and not die. And he said he went for probably another 25, maybe 30 minutes in this intensity. And all of a sudden, she choked, and she was sitting against the wall, and her head was drooping down almost to her belly. But after about 45 minutes, she choked, and she her eyes opened up, and she looked at her dad, and she said, Dad, I'm hungry. And he gave her something to eat. She couldn't even chew. Her mouth and everything was so damaged and everything. But she got a little piece of bread and ate it and whatever. And she was healed. They called the doctor, the ambulance. They took her into the doctor, and they had some equipment at the time there, some sort of scanning equipment. And because of the, I don't know what, the coagulation of her blood or whatever, they could scientifically tell that she was dead for at least 45 minutes. So he, that was a battle. That was a battle that healed his daughter, healed her from death, and brought her back to life. But the reason I say it is because of the battle that was fought there. There's that scripture in Matthew where he says, until the time of John until now, talking about John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And it that story was a demonstration of taking it by force, not settling for what I would see in my mind or in my with my physical ears, physical eyes and ears, not settling, not I be anchored down in that wood, in that word of God that says, "She shall live and not die," and don't give up on it. And he, in fact, pushed through that soul, that battleground that was happening there. He pushed through it. Now, I suspect it was by force. I suspect that there was probably intense and yelling and not taking no for an answer, and a battle that was raging in that thing. And he what did not take no, was not taking what he was seeing as the end result. And in doing so, he raised his daughter from the dead. And it's that battle that he chose to put in his in the words in his mouth, the words of and I think that scripture's in the Psalms, and it's in one other place, I believe it's in a couple places, but he and that's the only thing he could even say. That's the only thing he did say is that verse, "You shall live and not die." And I just it to me it shows the battle, and it shows the need for perseverance and the need to stay with it, to hold on to that word of God and don't give up, and expect it to take you where it's going, not where your eyes or your sight are going. So I mean, this is, I guess, the lesson. I mean, it not in any way as dramatic as that, but this is the lesson that I'm personally learning. I'm battling through, because the battle is not out there. The battle is in here. The battle is taking that word and speaking that word and pushing that opposition out of your life, pushing it out. And I'm saying this by way of observation. I'm not saying this by standing on the victorious, mountain of faith here. I'm learning to push through. And one of these things is speaking forth with your mouth, speaking forth and pushing it out. So I don't know, I just felt like that was, to me, was an excellent example of exactly what what I have been feeling as far as the battle within, So anyway, praise
Yeah,
the Lord.
that's a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Father. And that one, and I always like the one where the lady, when her husband died in the hospital, she wouldn't let him take him out. She said, "No, he ain't going. He's not dead. He's not dead. No, he's not breathing. He ain't dead." And then what happened? He woke up. What was it? 2 days later? One day later? Something, whatever it was. And she just kept saying, you know. The Lord promised me. The man wasn't saved yet. She knew that he wasn't dead.
Is that where Michael, is that the one where he was a pastor
No.
and the Lord
Don't
finally told him, he said, listen, you're gonna have to go back home. Your wife ain't
Oh,
giving up.
I don't remember that part, but it might have been. It
Is
might have
that the
been.
one?
I don't remember if that. I don't think that was the one. No, huh? No, that was the guy over in Korea with the largest church.
Africa, oh, Korea.
Yeah, largest church in the world. What's his name, Judy? Somebody tell me. If I say it, you'll know it. But anyway, his son died, and daddy was praying for him. Praying for him, kept praying for him. I ain't gonna let you go, Lord. I'm gonna stay here. And that's what he told his son. He said, you don't have to go back. Your daddy won't let me alone. So he sent him back. I'll tell you something else. That's fixing to happen again, too. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. By the way, Pat, I met her, Kerr's daughter. When she was 21 years old, fixing to get married. Yeah, I used to know her name. I'm having trouble remembering what it is right now. No, I'm not. I can remember everything. Goodness gracious. Oh boy. Sweet girl, sweet girl. But that was, gosh. That had to have been 15 years ago, so she's probably up in her 30s by now. Okay, anybody else? You see how important confessing the word is? I tell you what, I've got a little old thing that I made up myself, and I made up another one, and somewhere. And on it, I put on it, say this 3 times a day and for 10 minutes. And Charles Scott put out one that said, say this 3 times a day for 10 minutes. And if you want to go over, you can go over because you cannot. What? Is, oh gosh. Because you can't overdose on it. He called it God's medicine. That's pretty neat. But you might get one of these up. I think I sent everybody a copy of the one that I made up. You do that every day and watch yourself grow. You do it. You'll see it. You'll see it. You'll experience it. Your faith will just shoot right out the side. Might take a little while, but don't worry about it. It's done. It. You don't know what God's doing. You can't see them little quirks going on and around in your atoms and stuff going on in up in here and all these places. Oh, you can't see that. Yeah, baby.
Hey, hi Michael. Hi everybody. Michael, you're talking about Mike his oh, healing confessions.
Yeah.
Charles Capps, right? He said, yeah.
Yeah. It's called
Those are
God's
good.
medicine. It's called God's medicine. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
But
I know
yeah.
there's one of his I used to listen to at night in bed, and it would put me to sleep. But and he repeats them. He says a
Whoosh.
scripture. then repeats it and bit with him. And I went through those so many times, and I kind of fell
Yeah.
away from that, but I'm going to get back to that again.
Yeah.
That's really good stuff.
Yeah. He does a good job with that. That's a good one to have. You can go online and get that. Charles Capps,
Yeah.
it's called God's Medicine. It's
Oh
a
yeah,
good one.
he's got a lot of them on YouTube. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. He's got a
Yeah.
lot of them on YouTube. You can just listen to and follow along with him and repeat with him. And
Yeah.
yeah,
He
that's
does.
how I got.
Yeah. He's good with it. He always did that. I used to watch him a lot years and years ago. He died back in 14, I believe, 2014. I think that's when he died. He's from Arkansas, by the way. He's an Arkansas rice farmer. Just like I was. And he didn't live
Oh.
that far from me. He didn't live over 30, 40 miles from me. I used to go by his house when I went down to Tucker Prison Farm to minister. Go by his house every time I went up there, every weekend. Anyway,
Awesome.
anybody got any questions or any comments? A little more here I can relate. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed upon the earth and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow. He knows not how. The earth bears fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the fruit is ripe, straightway he puts forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. The earth brings forth fruit of herself, and the heart, spirit of man, will bring forth the fruit, just like the seed does. And it'll lead you to whatever it is that you're saying, and it'll lead you to the information. It'll lead you to the situation. It might lead you across five states to cause what you're saying come to pass. Good, bad, or indifferent. What does it say? A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. I don't think that Jesus was necessarily talking about a wicked man, for a lot of Christians do the same thing with their mouth. We say a lot of evil things out of our heart. We shouldn't. What did James tell us? He said, if you seem to be religious and don't bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart, and your religion is in vain. What you believe is in vain unless you get your mouth in line with it. Anybody else got anything they'd like to say about what we're talking about? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm just thinking about how light repels the darkness. And if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you know, we have fellowship one with another because we are a corporate body, one body. But, you know, it says, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You know, and this goodness is part of the light that has to repel this darkness. You know, I'm speaking more towards what Pat spoke of when that thing came out of him. You know, this light, a beam of darkness can't come toward the light. It just can't happen. It happens the other way, you know, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So I'm just commenting things here, you know, and you know, if God said, "Let there be light," and I think it's the next day he made the sun. I'm not sure. Sun, moon, and stars in the heavens. So the light emanated from God. And we're supposed to be children of light, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we rebel against darkness. You can't have communion with light and darkness at the same time, because light expels the darkness. So I'm just reiterating, as a child of light, that we shine forth. The shining of this light is what we want. We want God to witness through us this light. And it's his light. If he started the good work in you, he has to finish it. And it's a work of light. As a child of light, this light exists in us as life. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. The light shone in the darkness. The darkness couldn't apprehend it, because they have a power of darkness, and they want. You see the guy over there in 3:16 of John and 3:21 to 3:21. The person wouldn't come unto the light because he loved the darkness, and that's what it says there. He wouldn't be corrected. He wouldn't be reproved for he loved the darkness instead of the light, and so. We love the light, and the love is the first fruit of God's Spirit. So I'm not making this up, because it does say that in chapter 1 of John. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And this light needs oil, and you can imagine yourself having a light within you, because God told you how to imagine it according to the temple of the Lord, you know? So it's got to shine forth out of you. Shine forth this wisdom. Shine forth the fear of the Lord. It's a good thing to have. It'll make you repent. You know, the Lord wants the light to come out of you. Wants not to. You know, I used to know a person, he'd be able to put the fear of the Lord on you right away. And I went, is that a bad thing? No, it's not. And people would comment on him, and they would say, you know, you put the fear of the Lord on people so easily. And he was really quiet, and he said, you're not the first person to tell me that. You know, is it good to have the fear of the Lord, or, you know, a respect for the Father to shine? Are we not told to imitate God as beloved children and walk in love? So I'm just saying that this obedience, this obedience to God is a light that repels the darkness. You know, whatever you say to me bounces off me and goes back to you. Anyways, maybe there was some good saying in that, Michael, when you were young. Anyway, praise God.
Yeah, I'm rubber, you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Let me show you one of God's laughing animals, one of these animals that are you've probably never seen before. It's the funniest looking animal I've ever seen. I thought the duck-billed platypus took it, but this one here is kind of funky looking. I'm going to let you look at it. Has anybody ever seen
What was it called,
anything like, what?
Mike? What was it
What?
called?
I don't know. It didn't have a name on it. I don't know.
Hmm.
Whatever it's called is funny, I'll bet you.
His
I
name
mean,
is
it's
Nat.
Is it?
Nat.
Is
Nat. Nat.
it Jimmy Durante Monkey?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what it was. It must have been some kind of monkey. Boy, I've never seen anything like that before. I hope I don't ever see one in the natural. Oh, man. My gracious. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? Did everybody get to see that? I know you did. Yeah. Yeah. Julie sent that to me. Yeah, that's a, I don't know how cool it is, but it's
You know, I was
different.
beginning to feel bad that I showed the fish, but now I don't feel so bad.
Oh, that takes a cake, doesn't
Andrew,
it?
what you were, you, yeah, when you shared that picture of that fish, and then you're talking about the platypus, it reminded me of that video that I came across. It's one of, those nature things that's on the internet up there, and just some of the most unique animals God created. And it doesn't give a name for that thing on there, but.
Andrew, that looks like a piece of light bread with some pepper on
It's a cube. It's a cube. He's
Oh, it
wearing his
is? Okay,
pajamas.
I see
All over his black polka
it.
dots.
Yeah. Pajamas.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's got some funny looking critters out there. He really does. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on about what we're talking about? Does anybody not understand what we're talking about? I take that as no, we understand. How many
Michael,
of
what
you?
were you reading out of?
Oh, that page I had there, I don't know what it was. It's one of my older sermons, I think. Let me look and see.
Okay.
See if I got a date on it. Yeah, it's back in June of 24. That's one that, you remember when David and I did the quantum faith thing. It's long in that period of time. Okay, anybody else?
I got one thing that I need to bring up real quick.
Okay.
This is a clarification. I don't know if it's maybe a month ago or something like that. I made a statement about Mary Magdalene. I was reading in John 20, and I made a statement about her being the only human being to actually see Jesus after he was raised, but before he went to the Father. It's when he told her not to touch him. He has yet to go to the Father. But I remember making a comment about that, that you held the distinct, privilege or whatever of being the only person. But I think I still haven't studied it out, but I think there's another one of the other gospels mentions that two, Mary and someone else went to the tomb or something. I still have to, kind of study it out and think about it. But anyway, I kind of just wanted to say, a disclaimer about what I had said there because I'm not sure that it was true. But anyway, she does have the distinct privilege of being the only one mentioned by name or by the Lord in that circumstance. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? We've got just a little bit of short time there. About a minute. Don't raise your hand, Lisa. I'm picking on you now. Are you gonna come down this next time? Okay. All right. Looks like we're almost out of time, man. Has anybody got a prayer request before we go? Well, Lord, I just go ahead, Julius.
I have a prayer request. You got pretty warm today. It's been in the 60s and low 70s, and it got up to mid 80s today, and the next 2 days is supposed to be in the mid 90s, and then it's supposed to drop again to the 70s. So I don't know what they're doing, but for this time of year, it's way too warm for that. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that your grace and mercy be upon us, Lord, and whether warfare this is that the enemy's doing for a couple of days of extreme heat wave here, did it not come to pass what they may be planning? I bind all nefarious acts of lawlessness and destruction and fires and that kind of thing from happening in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. If it's going to be hot, then let people who really enjoy a hot weekend, and it's Mother's Day this weekend, that they would enjoy the heat and the change and this the temperatures and such, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, we thank you for stopping all of this manipulation of the weather all across this nation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody with holiness and faith, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Good night, y'all.